Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with John Seale. John's the Chief Management Officer of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And joining us in our conversation is Dennis Kayser.
John, many federal agencies are also looking into shared services agreements. As I understand it, you're also a board member of the Cooperative Administrative Services Unit, or CASU. Can you first tell us a little bit about CASU?
Sure. And it's precisely for the reason that it's a mouthful to pronounce the full program name that we normally call it, CASU. I'm actually the chair of the board, the National Board of Directors for the CASU program. And again, this was an interagency initiative. It started off in the Reagan administration with the President's Council on Management Initiatives. And it started when the assistant secretaries for administration in the cabinet agencies began to talk about their field offices and how in these regional and satellite offices, each agency was providing their own administrative support, whether it was copiers or printing services or transportation services, and began to think about, well, you know, if we got together collectively, maybe we could save money, save staff in terms of having a more central source of that administrative support. So it started off in the 1980s, really looking at federal buildings that housed multiple agencies in them outside of Washington. And it started with simple things like, let's pool together and provide copier services under a single contract to all the agencies in that building. The local CASU organization was also interesting and unique. The CASUs were governed, if you will, by a local board of directors made up of the customers. So if the CASU was only covering the agencies in that building, you'd have tenant representation on the CASU board. And then they would find a contracting mechanism. One of the agencies would serve as the procuring official, if you will, and go out and, say, get a copier service where they could perhaps get a better rate. They could also have a single vendor in terms of, you know, supplying maintenance or repairs in terms of all the copiers in the building. So it started that kind of a low-level, very simple kind of a support effort. Over time, it became so successful that it branched out beyond just buildings to citywide CASU services, then regional-wide CASU services. And today, although there are fewer CASUs, we provide about on the order of $300 million of services now to agencies worldwide. And the Internet has helped on that also in terms of spreading the territory for support. And the variety of services has also expanded tremendously now. But the remaining sort of as a unique feature of the program is that buying the services is totally voluntary. No agency is forcing anyone to buy services from a CASU. And second, the governance of the program is voluntary, and it's customer-driven.
Let's shift our focus now to the future of the PBGC. Can you tell us some of the key lessons learned, perhaps, from some of the relatively large pension fund failures?
Well, I think two come to mind that are, I think, are important. First, the existing plan funding rules that we have for defined benefit plans don't really encourage additional company contributions to their plans when their business cycle is good, you know, when they're making profits. Companies actually can put in less funding to their pension plans. And then at a point where the business cycle is poor for them and they can least afford it, underfunding begins to occur and they're obligated to pay additional premiums to PBGC because of that underfunding. And they are not in a position to make up the gap in the underfunding. So something needs to be done to try to match those cycles up a bit better. The other issue that I think is important, and it's one that the administration is working on right now in its thinking of about proposed legislation, is transparency. The administration has expressed concerns that plan sponsors should be providing more current information to their participants to let them know the status of their pension plans. Most people that are in defined benefit plans don't know the status of their plans. They can go to their pension administrators and find out, but that requires, you know, extra effort, and sometimes the response they get is hard to interpret. So there needs to be better awareness, if you will, transparency in terms of the plan participants and the stakeholders as to what is the financial status and the future of their pension plans.
Are there any other, you know, top threats or challenges that you think the PBGC is going to be facing in the future?
Well, the nature of our business is pretty unpredictable. Pension plans and their funding status are dependent on a number of variables that we have no control over. Business cycles, industry trends, worldwide competition, aging industries in terms of technology, interest rates have a huge importance when you're looking at pension plan underfunding. It's the stock market, how well it's doing in terms of investments by pension plans. All of those are important factors in terms of the health of pension plans. Often pension plans, their financial health sort of lags behind the health of the economy. They're usually a few years behind whatever trend is going on in the economy. Because some companies, if they're in a downward spiral, they'll hang on for a few years trying to recover, but eventually have to give up the ghost. And as the economy improves, the pension plans usually have to take a few years to sort of catch up to where they're much better funded.
How do you think about the future for the PBGC? When you look out 5-10 years, what comes to mind?
Well, I think we've got a couple of really important challenges. One is to try to promote a sound defined benefit pension system that's attractive both to employers and employees. And I think that's going to take some legislation. It's going to take some clarification around cash balance plans, which is a new sort of a new form of a defined benefit plan. But it's one where it's sort of a mix between a 401k and a defined benefit plan. It's one where an employee actually has an account, and so that they can see the value, if you will, of their pension plan while they're still working for the company. And I think we're going to have to also continue our work to try to reduce the administrative costs and the requirements of administering defined benefit plans for plan sponsors. The other, I think, challenge for us has to do with plan terminations, and that is to seamlessly handle as much as possible newly terminated plans so that we reassure participants in those plans that their pensions are safe, that we will be efficiently processing their benefits. And that is a tough job initially when a pension plan is terminated, because the workers typically have lost their jobs. They often have lost their health plan benefits. They may have lost some value in their 401k plans if they have them. So the future can look pretty bleak, and fingers typically get pointed everywhere in terms of who's to blame. And we step in as a trustee then of the pension plan, and it's important for us to communicate with them that we're here, your pension is safe, there are certain guarantee limits that we must follow, but we stand by our word in terms of ensuring your plan.
You've had a very interesting career in public service, John, so I'm curious about the advice you'd give to someone who's perhaps interested in joining public service.
I guess I would first say look to learn. And by that I mean take every opportunity when you join the federal government to grow and learn no matter where you are and what you're doing. That involves, take advantage of training opportunities, take advantage of inter-office kinds of assignments and projects, volunteer for different kinds of analytical work to be done. Find out if an agency has a mentoring program, and maybe not initially, but maybe after a year you're in an agency, enroll in a mentoring program, because that again will broaden your experience as well as add some depth to your knowledge. And probably above all, listen, observe, and learn from others. I think also, because of my personal experience of having moved around to half dozen different agencies and having benefited from experiences in those different environments, I'd also strongly advise new people coming into the federal government that unless you're sort of in a highly specialized career path, move around. Don't think of yourself as only working for one agency over the course of your career. And then despite all the sort of frustrations and obstacles and disappointments you may find during your career in federal service, have fun. Enjoy your agency mission and the people that you work with and your assignments, and above all, the feeling that you're doing something worthwhile for your fellow citizens.
That's a good ending point. Dennis and I want to thank you for being with us this morning, John.
Thank you, and really appreciated it. And I would just advise your listeners, if they want to learn more about PBGC, go to www.pbgc.gov. We're there.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with John Seal, the Chief Management Officer of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.